I mean, it's true.
I think no matter who the guy is, there's always a struggle to maintain some sort of autonomy, masculinity, boundary, saying I could still hunt or I could still fish or whatever the equivalent of that in modern day society is, whether it's marking out the man cave in a house that's otherwise dominated by the rest of your family, or it's never going to buy a minivan. I'm always going to have this kind of, because that's, you know, I love to drive and that's where I feel most me, or that's, I think there's always that struggle, independent of what people would call a midlife crisis, to kind of say, this is still my thing and nobody can take it from me, right? Because I think, this doesn't apply to everybody, but I think in many, many cases, a lot of guys slowly give up, you know, what defined them as men, as part of being domesticated, some of which is a natural progression, some of which is they're just tired of fighting for whatever it was. They're just like, you know what? I give up. But whatever the case, right. I think there's always something.
What are you trying to say, bro?
Oh, like I can tell you plenty.
What you trying, buddy? You trying to say something to me, bro?
I can tell you plenty of my buddies. Not to you. I'm saying in general, like some of my buddies, you know, like they don't even have a room to call their own anymore. And it didn't start off that way. It was like, hey, you know what? Like, this is going to be my room where I watch TV, I drink beer, and I have my buddies over. You can do whatever you want with the rest of the house. And then it became, do you really need that? How often do you really need to be away from me? How often do you really need to be away from the kids? How often do you? And you can either say, look, we agreed on this. Like, if everything's on the table, then everything's on the table. Like, what are you giving up for me to give this up? And if you're not willing to give up anything, we can move on. But a lot of times, guys will be like, fine. You know what I mean? Right. And then it's one more little. Like, we all have friends like that.
Isn't that codependence, though? Like, versus interdependence, as they say?
I don't even know if it's codependence. I think one of the truest things I ever heard is from the Beige Phillip show. Now it goes by Man School 202. But when I first started listening to the Beige Phillip show, and the truism was this: a woman falls in love with you for everything that you are and spends the rest of the relationship trying to turn you into everything that you are not. And if she succeeds, she will leave you for a guy who was everything that you were when she fell in love with you. Now, if you think about all of your past relationships and how many times you said, this is my passion, or I do this on Sundays, or I do this, or I do that, and how at first it was cool, and then it was, do you really need to do that? Because what about this? And what is it? You know what I mean? Right. Like, just sit and think about it. And it's one of those things where it's kind of her testing you to make sure you still have those boundaries. You can still stand on your own too. Cause it's,
yeah.
She doesn't really want you to change, but she wants to make the attempt.
That's interesting.
It was deep. I had to sit and think on it.
Yeah.
And then that kind of informed my future relationship. Like, I had to tell certain women I was dating, look, like, there's going to be nights or days where I'm going to be in the studio and I'm not going to be able to give you the attention that you need. But I swear, if it's your night, unless it's an emergency, I'm not going to cancel on you. Like, and I define what emergency was. Like, if there's a demo at a label, you know what I mean? Or it's a big name artist or something like that. Like, I'm not talking about, you know, one of these indie guys that doesn't really want to pay us, but, you know, they might blow up. I'm talking about they got a meeting with a label, something fundamental, fungible, big time opportunity. Other than that, I tried to respect their night. It was like, look, your night is your night. Whatever we got to, you know, whatever we're planning on doing, I'm going to respect that night. But when I'm in this studio, I also need you to respect that. And if at ever any point you make me choose between you and music, I'm going to choose music, because a girl I want to be with long term would never make me choose her over music.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But there are guys who don't have that line in the sand, or don't have that boundary, because they're scared of losing the girl, or because they don't feel like their passions or whatever they like is all that important in the grand scheme of whatever it is that the girl envisions for their lives.
Yeah. That's so, very interesting. I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. I don't have the situation you're describing where my wife like wanted to take stuff away or vice versa. Like it's just been very organic and natural. That's why I brought up the word codependence versus interdependence, because it makes me think of that distinction that people sometimes make.
And again, this is speaking in generalities. I realize that there are women out there who are, you know, dreams to be with, who never test boundaries, never try to see what they can get away with, never try to see how disrespectful they can be without comments or consequences. I do get that. I'm not saying that every girl comes from a cookie cutter. Let me see how far I can take this. Let me see how much I can whittle this guy down. But I also think that in absence of us all being cavemen, you actually had to go hunt for our food and bring it back. And the survival was literally based on what we killed and we hunted and fighting it out over girls or anything else. And then they take home the winner. Absent that, there's subtleties where a woman is still trying to figure out, you know, is this still a stand-up guy with power and convictions that can fight the world for me? Or is he going to cave at the first? And so I'm not even saying that it's a sinister test. I'm saying that I think in the absence of us constantly having to prove certain aspects of what we can do, I think this has become the default for some women. Some women are just like, I found a winner. I'm locked in. I'm happy. Cool. But for everybody else, I think there's some element of, I like him, but, you know, like, I need to kind of see, you know, what his boundaries are. Like, how firm is he in whatever frame he's developed for our relationship? Or is he going to always cave? Right. So that's, in other words, because I think sometimes when people hear that, they think, oh, you're criticizing, you know, women for what they did. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying that what happens is, in absence of us having to actually prove it on a battlefield or as a fist fighter, as a hunter, sometimes women will say, well, what if I stay out late? Or what if I don't return his text for like 3 days? Let's see what he does or there or whatever. That's kind of
right. I didn't take it, by the way, as sinister. I didn't receive it that way when you were saying it. I think this is kind of a continuation of last week when we were talking last about your experience with that stripper. I think this is kind of the next episode of that conversation. Again, speaking in generalities, I hear what you're saying. It's yes and, you know, how you were saying there's no universal construct. So that's true.
Right.
And we could also say that in general, there does seem to be broadly some gender-based differences around relational communication styles, you know. And so I just saw an interesting clip. The woman was saying she was kind of coming out in favor of men and saying that women in general, they always ask for men with high emotional EQ. At first, it seemed like she was going to be on team woman, but then she flipped it and was like, well, before we even get to that, we have to define what emotional EQ is, right? You want somebody that is thoughtful, that's considerate, that understands how to regulate his emotions and his reactivity and is stable and can provide, but also, you know, be there as an emotional support and all. You want all of that.
Right.
And if you're not bringing that same level of EQ that you're asking for to the table, that same man that you're asking for is also going to be the type of man that will right away just draw a boundary and say, yeah, this too much reactivity here. I'm out. Peace. And just close the door on that. And then, you know, as she's saying this, the other dude on the panel starts shaking his head like surprised because he thought it was going to go in a different direction.
Yeah.
Her answer. So, yeah, I think that it's related to what you're talking about, that particular version of things where there is this almost like primordial, like caveman shit that exists. It's not every relationship, but it's a thing. For sure.
So, but here's what it is, right? Like, I don't know if you've seen that wildlife video where the penguin has a girlfriend and then he goes off to hunt and he comes back and there's a new penguin in the nest with the girl that he left. And first he cries out and then he fights the dude and he loses to the dude. And so then he's just sitting there bloodied, like crying out, and that's all he can do because he lost. There's nothing else he can do other than, like, I thought we had something, right? Meaning, they were a couple. Like, he had this whole plan, and she even had an expectation that on some level they were going to raise this penguin family. But for whatever reason, when he went away hunting, this other penguin came around, and she, for whatever reason, came to the conclusion that he was an upgrade and a better partner to procreate with. And right? I mean, the way that that has translated for me personally is there's been a couple times where I've had, and not to name names, but I've had, like, you know, coworkers who were taken on various levels, but still on some level were interested in pursuing something with me because the guy that they're currently dating, for whatever reason, didn't seem to be fulfilling all of these expectations that they might have had, right? So, yeah. I say that to say, you know, obviously I'm not condoning being the other guy, but I'm not.
I think you are, Nam. I think that's exactly what you're doing, man.
No, I'm just saying it happened. I mean, yes, you can judge it because at the end of the day, infidelity is infidelity. But again, it's hardware versus software. The hardware doesn't know about the pill and all these other birth control options, right?
You know what's interesting about that too, as you're saying it, is it reminds me of the other day when we were talking about the blue pill sort of naive, idealistic version of your younger self that you talked about. Like, most guys in general have some version of that. And I'm no different. I knew exactly what you were talking about. There was a version of me in my 20s or maybe even teens that would have been judgy about infidelity.
And the girl or the guy or both?
Both, I would say. Situationally, both. I think you can always draw distinctions about, like, everything's a matter of degree and proportionality. There's always 100% of any pot of soup of ingredients. Some people contribute more than the others. And if you're having real honest conversations, you can make distinctions and approximate who has what percentage of the recipe was involved in making it. But what I was going to say was, having been around the block and, you know, I'm married now and having had relationships and been through a lot and seen other people go through a lot, I realize now, like, shit is complicated. The young mind is the one that goes around and points fingers. It's like a waste of energy, number one, but it's also just futile. It's like, you don't really know. For every situation, you can, if you were in the back room with that couple, then you'll get the full scope of, like nobody just wakes up and chooses to do anything on any given day. And so that's what I've come to, like, realize, you know, over the years, is like, yeah, it's like if somebody says, like, yeah, I cheated or I was cheated on, I'm just like, oh, okay, I'm sorry to hear that. But there's no part of me anymore that has this kind of moral certitude about it, like, you know, let's ready to pile on and it's just, I just kind of receive it. That makes sense. I'm just like, okay, I'm sorry to hear that, but I don't really, like, have this I think I used to have a reflex, particularly when I was younger, because I was more religious, like, particularly when I was, like, in my teens.
Yeah,
religious. So, like, my life was just one big, like, Jesus, yeah, this and God this and
yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, I still have the spirituality and the morality and the ethics underneath. It's not tied to this kind of binary, like, childish version of the world where, like, I know every single thing.
Yes, that is fair. I think there's always gray areas and there's always context in terms of, again, and this is probably the last time I'll quote the podcast, but I thought it was very insightful. Listen to this one episode of Beige Philip, which was essentially like, at the end of the day, couples need to set what their negotiables are, what their expectations are, and don't negotiate. And, you know, one of the things that he talked about is when couples have the fidelity discussion, like, I expect you to be faithful 100% of the time. I don't expect you to sleep with anybody else. That is something that some couples want. It's not what every couple wants. We know that there are swinging couples, et cetera, et cetera. But for those that are saying, you know, I want fidelity 100% of the time, or let's say hypothetically in this case, the female in the relationship says, I want fidelity 100% of the time, right? And the guy says, that's cool. I have a really, really tough job. I see death every day, blah, blah, blah. When I come home, I just need a silent hug for like 2 minutes. And I just want to be able to turn on my favorite show and watch that, you know, watch the rerun of that with about an hour of silence. And that's all I want. And after that hour, I'm completely yours. I swear to you, you could set the timer, et cetera, right? So it's one of those things where if both of those people are doing the things, like if the guy is faithful 100% of the time, and every day the guy comes home from a tough day and he gets a silent hug and he gets to watch his show for an hour to unwind, and then he's back engaged, then it's fine, right? But let's say on this particular day, you know, the woman doesn't feel like giving him the hug, doesn't feel like, you know, letting him have the silence because, you know, there's something going on in her day and it's just not something that she really wants to do. That's fine. What if it becomes a pattern? What if she says, well, like, does he really need it? I did it the last 3 months. Yeah. Well, then the fundamental question is going to become also if this guy cheats. Well, it's like, look, I told you I wanted this 100% of the time. You stopped doing it 100% of the time. Why do you expect me to be faithful 100% of the time? And so it's one of those things where you have to have that give and take of if somebody says they need something 100% of the time and you're giving that, then you have every right to say, all right, as long, and you also need to do this 100% of the time. And if not, we need to revisit that discussion. And I think what ends up happening, I think, too often is a complacency or an entitlement can kind of kick in where it's like, well, you're going to do that for me because you've always done it regardless of what I do relative to what you said you needed. And I think that's when you start to kick open the door for large problems and for people to swoop in.
Yeah, right? 100%.
So, but I think it's easy to forget that in the moment, right? Especially if you're young or especially if you are someone who is used to constantly being pursued, right? Because in your scenario, it's like, well, I'm super attractive. I have all the leverage. All these guys are fighting for me, or all these girls are fighting for me. Do I really have to do whatever it is I said I would do? I know I'm not going to be alone. And I know they'll probably stick with me because I'm such a catch. But there's gradients of that. I think the older guys get, the more we prize peace over, let's say, beauty or attractiveness, right? Because, you know, I've had buddies that used to date amazing looking women. I'm talking like model level women. Yes, I have some friends that are married to models, but I'm just using this as an example. Like, some of my buddies have dated, like, you know, and I was like, wow, man, you're lucky, right? They ended up marrying women who, you know, weren't as model-esque. But the main reason for that was they were able to have a peaceful and reasonable home, whereas in some of these other girls, the home wouldn't have been as peaceful or the type of environment that they wanted to build a family and raise kids in. And so it's always interesting to see that kind of development or evolution. Typically, the older you get the guy, the less you worry about looks and the more you prize peace. I'm not saying, but a guy who was slightly older than me gave me a great piece of advice. And he said, you need to stop thinking of women's physical attractiveness on a 1 to 10 scale. It's just not useful. And it'll make you overthink things. Like, you're thinking, oh, I'm dating a 7. I want to marry a 10. Right? He said, what you need to do is just have a 2-score scale, go or no go, meaning you'll sleep with her or you won't. And then it becomes very simple. If you say, well, I would sleep with her, cool. Well, then does she have all of the characteristics that you would need for something serious? And if not, then you move on to the next woman who is attractive enough for you to sleep with, but has all those characteristics. If you're dating intentionally with the goal of it being a long-term relationship. If you're just kind of enjoying the ride until you find something that's mind-blowing and you say you want to stick with it, then it's carry on.
Yeah, I think that's right. Anytime things get out of balance and patterns settle in and you get in a rut on either side of the fence, whether it's, you know, one partner or the other, you know, husband or wife or whatever the case is, like you're describing, that's when those imbalances happen, when you're not fulfilling either your explicit or tacit agreements about things.
Right.
You know, and then a lot of, and that's another layer to it, is like sometimes the problem is that you've never made the tacit or the implicit explicit. Like you haven't spoken up. I've seen that a lot where people think that they're in one place, but they're not, and then they're in another. And so,
well, yeah, I think there's a very much a use your words maxim totally. That needs to be applied, right?
Yeah, use your words.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I think, you know, in our 20s, I'm not going to say, I think women evolve with their communication better as they get older, too. But I think in our 20s, generally, it was like, girls I was trying to date kind of wanted a mind reader. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I just expect you to know already. I expect you to know why I'm mad. I expect you to know that this is the right thing to say, that this is the right thing to do, all while not having never told you, right? I mean, that's just, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that there weren't exceptions to the rule, but generally speaking, when I was younger, it was very much a, why don't you just get it? And it was one of those things where it's like, I got why I was disadvantaged relative to older dudes, because older dudes had seen it. They understood the little nuance. They understood the little micro expressions, facial expressions, body language, to where they could read these things. Yeah, I was brand new to it. I was a late bloomer when it came to dating, because I was a bookworm. I was kind of raised with, oh, you just be smart and work hard and life will be great for you. But, you know, while I'm being a bookworm, I'm not spending time socializing and understanding what dating dynamics are. And so I'm super behind the curve. Like, I don't think I really, really was anywhere near functional in the dating world until like 20. Like, I had girlfriends, but it was a very, you know, it was like a very, it was amateur hour. Like, I didn't know that shit. So, yeah, I think part of maturation in a relationship and in general, in order to be a better partner, is knowing when to be clear about what your boundaries are, what your concerns are, what you're not getting, what you would like to get. And then if I make you aware that something is an issue and you choose not to do anything about it, then I just take that as, okay, so you don't really want to be in a relationship, and I move on. Like, it's not, I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to say, okay, well, if you're not going to give me what I said I needed, and especially if you said you wanted to give that to me, that's fine. So I'm going to give you the bare minimum of what I'm comfortable with, given that you're not giving me what you said you would. And then if you decide to move on because I'm giving you the bare minimum, I'm fine with that. You decide to stay, I'm fine with that. Yeah. I mean,
have you heard of the Gottman method?
No, what's that?
Relationship framework that's named after some dude, I think, named Gottman. It's a couple, actually. It's a husband and wife research team. And they basically have the most accurate predictor of divorce or like success for relationship. So if you take their test, I don't know, don't quote me, have something along the lines of like 70 to 80% accuracy. And I don't remember it's Gottman. I can never remember all the different sort of umbrellas or buckets that there's like four spheres that they talk about, or four or five, but like one of them is one of the telltale, it's disdain.
Ooh,
so once you develop disdain,
yeah,
it's very hard to overcome that. Stonewalling is another one. And man, I don't remember. If you just Google Gottman, I heard about it like many years. It was like a thing on NPR, and then it was, I think Naomi and I were like dating, and we were like, I don't know if I want to take this. I don't want to know about it, but actually, in hindsight, I think it's helpful to know it, because it's like, it tells you like, oh yeah, criticism, defensiveness, contempt, stonewalling. So these are the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Right.
And they're all sort of overlapping and related. but a really big one is contempt or disdain. And so when I see people in my life that have gotten divorced or had issues, you can almost always find them falling into one of those four areas. But it's all related to what you and I are talking about, because if a woman doesn't give him the silent hug or he's cheating, like there's always a bargain. The bargain's going to look different for every couple,
right?
Talked about. Whatever that bargain is, you're on board with it. And when you're not living up to that bargain, that's when people start slowly straying and It's real interesting.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that I think it's a challenge, because I still think it's a struggle for younger women, I would say, who kind of still have the check, like they're still in, for lack of a better term, like checklist mode. Like, he's got to be 6 feet or more, make six figures, blah, 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 right? Like, kind of the, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of times you'll see these younger girls kind of have that checklist in there. Like, got to be 6 feet, six pack, six figures, you know, like the three sixes, right? Like, that's my dream guy. Like, I'm not going to settle for less, et cetera, et cetera, right? All that's fine. Everybody's allowed to have standards. It's not, I'm not making a value judgment on somebody who has that expectation. But what I am saying is, a lot of times what comes with that is this expectation that whoever they're dating is going to know how they feel before they do, and anticipate this, anticipate that, anticipate this, anticipate that. And the problem is one of two things. If you want a guy who is like that, you're probably going to have to find either an older guy or an experienced guy, meaning he's been with a lot of women, like a lot, so that he knows, all right, I've seen this situation before, right? It's like Brady during the second run. Like, he was like, I'm slower, but I have all the answers to the test. I've seen every defense. I've seen every adjustment. I've seen every blitz. I know what the read is. I've been playing for 20 years. I'm not, you know, like, I generally am going to outsmart whatever this defense is cooked up, right? As long as my protection holds out. So fine, you get with that guy, but the challenge then becomes, because he's been with all of these women and he's so good at it, you're probably not the only woman in his circle, right? Because sure, he's giving you that, yes, I make six figures, yes, I'm 6 feet tall, yes, I have a six pack, but I put all this together, plus I'm able to read your mind without you telling me. That doesn't mean that I did all this just to stick with only you, right? That's always a struggle. It's either going to be an older dude who does want to settle down with someone younger, which is its own dynamic, or it's going to be an experienced dude who has so many options that the likelihood of them being exclusive is going to be minimal. So that's why I would say, and again, this isn't me mansplaining, this is just me being like a grizzled old observing veteran, take it or leave it, is by using your words, you can cut through a lot of that, oh, why doesn't he just get it? If you have a guy who's generally trying to be a stable force in your life and trying to do what he thinks is right by you, you know, there is always the option of actually using your words and communicate and say, I like it when you do this, or I like it when you, or I don't like it when you do this, or hey, can we watch this without being frustrated that that particular person is not a mind reader. Again, there is always the option of dating the mind reader, but he wasn't born that way. Let's just put it that way. There's like a lot because I mean, we've all, if we haven't been that guy, we've all known that guy, and we all know that that guy, it took a lot for him to settle down if he did, right?
The mind reader, you're saying?
Yes, the quote unquote mind reader. We've all seen that guy, and we all know he ran numbers up. And he might not ever stop running the numbers up, to be frank.
Right. So you're saying, in general, women, in terms of their, the one sort of thing to struggle with is the expectation game in their 20s, especially, just in terms of communication and wanting somebody to like just pick up on stuff.
I think you can always have the expectation, but understand that it narrows your dating pool in a way that might have mm-hmm. you chasing players and everything that comes with that.
Right.
Right. Because we've all seen it. Like, why do these girls end up with this guy who's got all these other girls? Well, you know, that was a trade-off. Okay. He knows exactly what to say to you. He knows exactly when to call you on this. He knows when you really mean it, when you really don't, when you're trying to get a reaction. Not cool. He knows it all. And because he knows it all, you're one of 3, 5, 10. And you can be fine with that and enjoy your night, whatever your designated night of the week or the month is. And live in that, right? Or, you know, you can take a different route.
Right. What's right. the, real quick, but like, what's the young male, what's the young guy's equivalent of that in their 20s? Like, what's the counterpart to that on the guy side? What do guys do that they struggle with?
In terms of what?
Well, what's the equivalent thing, if anything, like, If women have a problem with wanting the bad guy, so to speak, and they want the mind reader, and that's something that, like, if they could just use their words, what's the equivalent of that for the guys?
I think what gets guys burned is their inexperience making them pedestalize a particular woman, right? And the problem is, if you pedestalize a girl, right? Like, and I was definitely guilty of this when I was younger, and I got burned. Oh my God, like, you're the one, you're so amazing. Like, we have to be together, blah, blah, blah. I'm so lucky to be with you. Well, not even that. Like, for instance, I wouldn't say that I needed to call her every day or any, it wasn't that. But just the fact that I made her feel like she was so special. Part of that was like, well, if I'm this special, then I guess I can kind of slow play him or be lukewarm on him, or I can, that gives me this tacit leeway to, rather than being as engaged or as dedicated, kind of play it cool and see if I can upgrade or see what else. And then eventually maybe I can go back to him, kind of thing. So that's what I'd say, that guys early on, a little too eager to pedestalize the object of their affections. Like, oh my God, she's so amazing. Like, you know, when we were younger, I mean, unfortunately, some people never grow out of it. But, you know, definitely when you're younger, usually there's always one girl that you just think is so amazing, no matter what she does, no matter how she treats you, et cetera, et cetera. And you end up doing things that actually kill the attraction or the tension. Right. It's suddenly a movie she's seen before, and not, oh, I wonder how this is going to end. Ooh, is there going to be a cliffhanger? Oh, yeah. Plot twist. Right. So that's how guys get burned. If we're talking about how girls get burned versus how guys get burned is guys love idealistically initially until they learn the hard way, or, you know, like a OG sits them down and is like, I know you think it's this way, but it's this way. Right. Like I said, the main girl last time, the main girl who taught me that it was better to make her jealous than tell her how she was the special unicorn and the greatest woman in the world. Yeah, that was how I learned. Was, you know, I asked her, my girlfriend, she said, nah, I don't really do titles. And so I made a date with another girl in front of her, and all of a sudden I'm back in the game. I literally thought I was moving on. And that's why I made the date in front of the other girl. But the fact that I displayed that another girl was willing to date with me.
Yeah.
Right. So it's that element of, and I'm not advocating people who are in a healthy relationship make dates in front.
Yes, you are.
But I think women understanding that whoever they're dating can also get other women is more of a turn on than they want to admit publicly. Right. So whether you want to call it a display of you're making other women laugh at a party, or you're Gary and you can sing amazingly and everybody's just staring at you like, oh my God, what a voice. You're so lucky. Whatever it is, whatever your thing is, like, do your thing and let it be known that whatever your thing is impresses other girls beyond her, so that she's tacitly reminded that. Yeah. One, you're a catch. And number two, there's competition, because think of all of the dating shows you watch, whether it's The Bachelor, Flavor of Love, you know, insert competitive dating show here, right? There's so many times there's that arc of a girl who wasn't even that into the main guy in the cast, like, ah, whatever. And then suddenly when she finds herself competing, like that feeling changes.
Yeah.
She's crying, right? Now, mm-hmm. She was not that into this dude, but all of a sudden other girls are into this dude and there's that whole arc and now she's competing for his affection, et cetera, et cetera. Fundamentally, competition is more useful than devotion, at least on the front end of things. It's sad, but it's true. So that's how guys can get burned.
Yeah.
You're better off.
100%. That once you get the stamp of a relationship and interest, it just totally, not always, again, in general, just making generalizations, but like, yeah, I remember that for sure. Like, there's something about, oh, you have a girlfriend now? And then all of a sudden, there's just...
Yeah.